Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition for the last 30 years.
It's Rosie on the House.
Oh, yeah. Good morning, all y'all. Thank you for tuning in this morning to my house. It's Rosie on the House. The doors are wide open, the windows are too. I can taste it, I can feel it, fall has arrived. Oh yeah! This is when you fall in love with Arizona all over again. Four hours this morning of packed information for you. We'll be talking about painting in the 10 o'clock hour, the proper way for painting the exterior of your home. 9 o'clock hour will be open hour. Any problem or project you're trying to tackle around your house, home, castle, or cabin, we'll have a toll-free number open and available for you to call in, and we will put our 45 years of Arizona building and remodeling experience to work to answer your question the very best we can. 8 o'clock, Romy, you've got Mr. Eisenhower coming in, talking trees.
And the new state record. Doesn't have anything to do with trees, but it has to do with the outdoor living hour.
Okay.
And it's something going on this weekend at the state fair. So,
all right, stay tuned for that. Hey, we got, I think like this is like one of the busiest weeks on the calendar in a long time. What's your name again? I barely saw you this week. Yeah. My wife, sweet Jennifer.
Good morning.
Golly, we were like two ships passing in the night.
We covered a lot of ground this week. Starting last week, you and Romy were down at the Saba Home Show in Tucson.
Got a little follow-up to do with that, yes.
That was the maiden voyage of the transit.
Oh, that's right. Rosie on the House promotional vehicle. Yep. It'll be out and about, especially during the fall season and through almost into the summertime. There's always something to do in Arizona, some festival, some fair.
You bet.
Right now in Phoenix, it's Food Day. We'll cover that in a little bit starting at 9 o'clock in the Maryville area, a new way to look at food. So we're not out today, but at events like that, we'll have the promotional van just out meeting our listeners. And we do a lot. We have a lot of state parks tickets, and we get sports tickets. So it'll be an opportunity to, you know, instead of having to try and figure out, all right, how far ahead do we have to get? Certified mail delivery. You know, we'll be able to use the promotion team out and about to give a lot of these.
Pass out our calendar.
Hand out the calendar.
You'll encourage the driver if you honk. If you see it, you can't miss it. If you see it, honk.
I feel like I've been driving in the rain for 3 weeks.
It's wonderful.
Golly,
I have to say, it's wonderful.
It is absolutely wonderful.
You were in Louisiana half of those.
Yeah. But it was rain. But the whole time I was in Louisiana, it was raining here. So
when we got home the day after, our yard took on 4 inches. That was pretty exciting.
Oh, man. On a follow-up on the Saba, I want to thank all of you that came up and introduced yourself to us. It's so great that we're talking to you through the microphone. We never really get to visit with you. And all of you that come up and introduce yourself, we love meeting y'all. And I asked for a favor from all of y'all. You know that we have done extensive research with APS and SRP utility bills to try and help you manipulate how you buy power to get you comfortable for the least amount of money in your home year-round. Well, now we're on the search of doing the same thing for TEP. And we were asking everybody we saw, please send us your TEP invoices. Please send us your TEP. And we got quite a few this week. But the more we can get, the more data we will have to help you. So if you will, as a Tucson area resident, scan us your TEP electric bill to info@rosieonthehouse.com. Put TEP invoice in the subject line. It'll come straight to me, and I'll be digesting all that data. You can redact anything you want, names, addresses. We don't need to know that. We just want to see the power consumption module. Okay? So that's the Saba Home Show.
Then Wednesday morning, Romy and I had the pleasure of being at the awards banquet for the Special Olympics of Arizona. And it was a very moving morning at the Biltmore. One of those rooms that's just absolutely packed. They get you in and out in an hour and a half, and you cry and you laugh, and it was just a wonderful time. But Special Olympics in Arizona is quite large. We have 22,000 athletes.
Wow.
Plus another 22,000 volunteers. And they partner, one of their big partners in that is for the Guardian Games and the Special Olympics is the police officers of Phoenix, and I think probably other cities as well. But one of the speakers was Chief Assistant Chief Mary Roberts, and she was talking about
City of Phoenix, mm-hmm, PD.
She was asked, why is this a good partnership? And she said, because, you know, police officers have a life of up and down, you know, extreme highs, extreme lows, everything in between, and we choose that. And the disabled do not choose that, and they have the same ups and downs. And she said, we just understand each other, and we partner well. So that was really, it was just a really very moving morning.
You've had a lot of moving moments this past week.
Yeah, so yesterday was the 40th anniversary for Lifestream Assisted Living, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful care facility. And
I got home from Saba, Romy, and her eyes were all red and swollen, and she just finished
watching. Well, that wasn't Saba you were home from. It was Palo Verde.
Just finished watching the movie on Glen Campbell.
Oh, that one. Dementia and music, and so I was kind of a basket case. But there's if you're looking for that sort of thing, start with live streams. They're just an amazing place. Really make the folks feel at home. They have some innovative programs.
Well, a great week, and then Romy and I got a tour of the refueling event at the Palo Verde Nuclear Power Plant, and that was mind-blowing. We're going to cover that in more detail a little bit later.
I did bring a Geiger counter just in case, though.
I promise you, Gary, you don't need to. We went through so many Geiger counters coming in and going out of that place, it's unbelievable. So we've got a lot of events going on. You know, one of my favorites is going to be Celebrate 68 in Old Town Scottsdale. They're going to recapture the vibe of the 1960s when they unveiled the Scottsdale City Hall. And they're going to have, which is an award-winning building designed by Benny Gonzalez. And when I was studying architecture at ASU, one of the reasons he won so many awards for that was he started putting shade in the parking lot.
Innovative.
He innovated trees in a parking lot. Instead of just massive acres of black asphalt, Benny Gonzalez started shading the parking lot. So that's just one of the many things he'll go down for. But they're going to have all kinds of events, like a Main Street car meet featuring Barrett Jackson stroll down Main Street alongside classic cars from the 50s, 60s, 70s. At the Valley Ho, they're going to have the Beatles versus the Stones musical showdown. They're going to have a march with the mariachis where the public's invited to join them, march from the City Hall down to Valley Ho. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Just get to City of Scottsdale, and right there on the homepage, it says, you've got one tab for it right there. Events, Celebrate 68.
When is that one?
That's going on
this weekend?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So, a lot going on. But we did get the opportunity to have a special guest drive down from the Verde Valley this morning. I'd like to introduce our special guest, Laura Varen Burkhart. She's a park ranger with the Montezuma Castle and Tuzegut National Monument. Laura, thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Well, I have to tell you, you kind of monitor two of my favorite little stops in Arizona. And I think it's, you know, Montezuma Castle is so easy to get to. And I just had an employee tell me who's been in the state like 20 plus years. He's driven by it 1,000 times.
We got to fix that.
And never pulled in.
That's so common when people come in. We obviously get visitors from all over the world, but visitors from Arizona, they say, I've driven past this brown sign, I can't tell you how many times, and I finally had the time to stop in, and they're always
amazed,
so glad they did.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Really just minutes off of I-17.
I think two and a half miles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A fabulous visitor center.
Yeah. Yeah, it's it's small, but the museum is pretty fantastic. It has some items on display that were discovered there during the archaeological study of the site, as well as some cultural information of our affiliated tribes, the tribes that are the descendants of the people that lived there. So it's got both past and current information, and then the trail. To me, it's a short trail. It's only a third of a mile, but it's got these huge sycamore trees, ash trees,
right down in the river bottom.
Yeah, yeah, and even though we're higher in elevation, we still get really hot up there in the summer. But half the trail's in the shade, so it it's really tolerable any time of year. It's the what we call the most accessible, easiest trail in the National Park Service.
That's interesting.
Yeah. At least in our opinion. Others might argue with
me. Is there a paved trail all the way through?
Yeah, it's pretty much a flat sidewalk all the way around. And it's anyone can do it and experience nature, experience culture. And we have a really great staff of rangers and volunteers there as well.
It was one, when we moved here in 65, it was one of the first parks we went to as a family. And I was reading literature that said in the late 50s, you were no longer able to climb through it. I distinctly remember visiting it in the fall of 66, and we climbed through it.
So that's actually really common. The visitor traffic to the main structure was closed in 1951.
Okay.
But what they ended up doing, there's another structure at the end of the Loop Trail. We call it Castle A. And when it was studied, it was no longer intact. But after they closed Montezuma Castle, they rebuilt Castle A to what they assumed it might have looked like to give visitors that experience of still climbing through something, because that was such a popular thing to do. And so visitors, we get visitors all the time that have lived in Arizona their whole lives, and they say, I was here in 1971, and I swear I went up there. And the memory's just a funny thing, really.
Okay.
A lot of people remember seeing the castle, and then they remember climbing up ladders. And chances are it was that Castle A structure that they deconstructed in the late 70s. And now when you visit it, it's still on display, but it's just the footprint of that structure. So you can – it's kind of cool, actually. It's if you're into learning how these buildings were constructed, you can see how they used the limestone cliff as an advantage, as a stronghold for basing their homes. They would build basically up against this cliff.
It had so many advantages. It was your anchor point. It was your thermal mass. It was so many things. So we're talking about Montezuma's Castle right up I-17, 2 minutes off the freeway. If you haven't stopped in, you've got to. We're going to come back and talk about it. The Castle A, which is no longer there, was actually the larger of the two structures. We're talking 4,000 square feet, 5 stories tall. I've been a hod carrier in my past, and we're going to come back and talk to Laura about what is it like carrying hod up a sycamore ladder, 5 floors, to lay that cap block when we get back at Rosie on the House.